Hello, listener. Before we start this podcast, I wanted to have a quick chat with you about a challenge that you can get involved in. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going a bit crazy due to the fact that I can't race at the moment. And with that in mind, over the month of June, we're going to be looking back and reminiscing about our greatest ever races. Now, these are the events that got us hooked on the sport, the races where everything went to plan, we had an incredible run, or just inspirational races that we watched and changed our attitude and approach to the sport. Now, we want to hear your memorable moments. So please take the challenge. Post a picture tagging in us, that's Let's Get Running, and our friends Cliff Bar, that's Cliff with one F, and tell us your stories. And we're going to read some of those out on the show, and some lucky people will win a caddy, that's 18, Cliff Block Energy Chews. So get involved and just join in the reminiscing. Hello. Welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. Again, it's me, Sean. I'm speaking to you from Devon, from hilly Devon, where I've been doing most of my running during lockdown over the last few weeks. I'm feeling strong, slightly dodgy ankles, but that's another story. Great to have you along. Great, thanks for joining in. Now, on the show at the moment, we are doing a series called Race of Your Life. So we're talking to various runners, coaches and athletes about the races that shaped their running careers. We had a couple of good interviews so far. Tom Gale, obviously, first week, he talked to us all about his life and times. And we spoke to Steve Brace last week. Steve, Olympian in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics and in Atlanta for the marathon. And this week, we've got another exciting guest. We've got Charlotte Moore. Now, Charlotte is the current British junior record holder at 800 metres. And she set that record, well, a long time ago now, 2002, back in Manchester Commonwealth Games. And Charlotte talked to us about how she started off in the sport, her thirst, I guess, for athletics as a junior, and what's happened since. So we're going to talk to Charlotte in a second. If you guys want to join in with the show, we'd really like that. So we'd really like to hear your greatest moments. We want to see races that had the biggest impact on you. You can do that by posting mainly on Instagram. You can do it on Twitter too. Make sure you tag us in at Let's Get Running. And if you want to be part of a competition to win some prizes from Cliff, please tag in at Cliff Bar too. So they're going to send us out some people for those who join in. So please get involved. We want to hear your stories. You can always email me if you like, if you prefer to keep anonymous, at getintouch@letsgetrunning.co.uk. As always, please share the show if you can. We love your reviews. And do hit the subscribe button, because obviously over the last few months we've been a bit sporadic with the posting of shows. We can't always get out on a Wednesday. Apologies for that. Busy with the old childcare. But please do that, and then you get it anytime it comes out. You'll get a show downloaded straight to your iTunes or wherever else you listen to the pod. So yeah, thanks a lot, guys. It is another show. On today's show, I'm speaking to, well, let's say ex-runner at the moment, Charlotte, I guess, and fellow Dorset, I was going to say Dorset veteran, that's not right, Dorset representer. I can't think of the words, so I'm going to go with that. Charlotte Moore. How you doing, Charlotte?
I'm very good. It's lovely to hear from you, Sean.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We both represented Dorset back in the day when we were young whippersnappers running together at the English schools in Bury St Edmunds many moons ago. But you're doing right. You're up in the northeast now.
Yeah, my husband's job has taken us to the northeast, and I absolutely love it up here. I mean, I'm originally from Bournemouth, but I'm very lucky to still live near the seaside here up in Whitley Bay. So yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful place to live.
Lovely. And how you came with lockdown? How's things going up there?
Yeah, crazy, I think, is the best word to use, because crazy good with the kids, because I'm having time with the kids that I've never had before, you know. How many weeks is it now? 12 weeks? No school. It does feel sometimes like a holiday.
And how's things going with your running? You managed to get out there and get anything done at the moment?
Well, the coaching started again. I mean, that's really a passion that's started last couple of years, really. Now I've got a bit more time. My children are 6 and 7. So starting a little bit more work with a group at North Shields Poly. So we're doing a bit more strength and conditioning and biomechanics work. So I do love doing that, giving a bit back, because I was so fortunate to have so many fantastic coaches when I was running. And myself, probably one of the biggest problems for me when I was a runner was injuries. So yet again, even though I'm a mum, 35, I've picked up an injury. So I haven't been doing any running, but I do enjoy putting some music on, going in the garage, even if it's on the turbo, and just getting away from it all for a little bit, you know, as a mum and everything. So I'm keeping fit, but unfortunately not doing as much running as I like. But
no. Right. Well, I did see you winning a few park runs and stuff up there in the last couple of years. It looked like the 5K was quite a nice distance for you.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got back into it, really. I mean, I really fell out of love with athletics around 2021 and was not upset to leave it at all. I was actually quite relieved. I was at university in Birmingham. I just needed a break completely from it. And it was also lovely because I got married at 23 and my name changed, which made things blissful because I could go and compete and nobody kind of knew who I was. Because I remember running an 800, I think it was 212 I ran, and Charlotte Moore running 212, you know, just it was awful. I had so much pressure. So I kind of left athletics at 21, dabbled with a bit of jogging and half marathons, had my children, moved here. And I think when the kids got to an age 3 or 4, started doing a few park runs, and it gets a bit addictive, really, because something you can do every week. And I think I went from running 22 minutes with a buggy to sub 17 in like a few months. And you just get that, oh, this is why I like doing running, because it's, you know, it's so nice to feel fit and just run fast and it feel effortless. And that just all came back. But then unfortunately, so did the injuries, because that's always been my problem, has been my injury kind of history. So Achilles and things, and being a mum and you can't rest, it's tricky. So
yeah. Well, let's look back at the career, because we're doing a series at the moment of interviews where we're looking at three races that shapes your athletics career, and maybe shaped your life, I guess, in a way, because for a lot of us, athletics is a big part of what we do. So we're trying to look at those three, starting off with the race that got you started, the race that got you hooked in the sport. And do you have one particular occasion that you thought, kind of, this is it, this is what I want to do as a youngster?
Yeah, I mean, I was very, very fortunate to have a wonderful PE teacher when I was in primary school called Mrs. Dix, Tina Dix. She did a cross-country club at my primary school, and it was just a community primary school in Pokesdown. And I remember very vividly there being a sign-up sheet for a cross-country club, and I asked my mum if I could join, and she went, "You don't want to do cross-country. You don't even know what it is." And I thought it was having picnics in a forest and crossing the country and getting out of school. But no, it was a running club, like just outside on the field. And I don't know, I just loved it. I loved beating the boys, loved that feeling of, you know, power. And I don't know, it was great. So my first race was just a cross-country race in King's Park, I think, for primary school children. And I remember this girl being miles ahead of everybody, and still remember her name, Meredith Hack, and I just wanted to be like her. And it's funny, isn't it, that was it. And I went down the athletics club when I was 11. That was when you're allowed to join, and I think I was running crazy times by the time I was 12. I think I ran something ridiculous like 4:39 for 1500 when I was 12, which is just ridiculous. So that's how it started. And I used to race a lot. I used to race every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and was hooked. And I was winning from a very early age. Like, and as an under 13, I always felt like I was the one to be beaten. So really, I think if you think about how long I was running for and how hard I was training, it was probably from when I was about 11 or 12 up to 20. So it doesn't sound a long time, but I think if you think about sensible athletes that maybe push themselves when they're 17, 18, they have like a longer career as a senior. I definitely feel that's why I didn't do as much in my 20s. But anyway.
Yeah. And so what were you just racing a lot? Were you sort of doing a lot of running around and training during the week and stuff too?
I used to dance on a Wednesday. I ran on a Tuesday and a Thursday and raced Saturday, Sunday, really. Remember them Wessex Leagues, Southern Leagues, cross country, Dorset Champs, schools events.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it. And I didn't need to be pushed, you know. I used to push myself to the limit. I think that was the thing when I used to train. I used to really push myself hard. So,
yeah.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Maybe did too much when I was a youngster.
Yeah, okay. And what do you think they gave you that special talent? Was it like just incredible desire to do it? What made you, do you think, so like adept at running as a junior?
I don't know. It's a debate I often have with my husband. I do feel that if you work really, really hard, you can be incredibly good. Tom doesn't think that so much. He thinks that talent is there. But I was never afraid of hurting myself in training. I got very fixated on times. And I kind of, I think that's how you naturally get faster, isn't it? You know, so some of the trainings I did were just, were a bit crazy when I was a youngster. Not mileage, in actual fact, it was quite the opposite. It was just the quality of it, you know. I used to do lactic sessions that were just horrible, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably why I was a very good 800 meter runner.
Yeah, well, I remember training with you and Craig. It was probably maybe when you were 16 17, and you know, I came in there, I think I'd done 9 minutes of 3k, so I'd got to the English schools. I thought I was pretty hot, and I just couldn't keep up with you and Craig because you were just too fast.
Yeah.
Even then it was like a couple of years young. I mean, Craig was 4 or 5 years younger than me, and I just, yeah, it was, you were ridiculously quick.
Be part of such a great in Bournemouth Athletic Club at that time. We had such amazing athletes: Colin McCourt, Louise Damon, Craig Bravington. That was just us as like a middle distance, you know, group. I mean, we didn't all train together, but we were all kind of great role models for each other. And then there was Sean Scott, who was a really good hurdler, and Greg Smith. They were just really, it was just buzzing down the track, and I think it was just a lovely time to be running. I was very lucky indeed.
So do you think, it's an interesting question, but do you regret that time then? Because it sounds like you had a great time, but you weren't then able to translate into a senior career. Do you regret how things were then?
I feel very sorry for my mum, because she did coach me, and I think she often feels upset that perhaps she didn't protect me as much as she could have done, because I did push my body to a limit, which did have an effect later on. But I couldn't be stopped, really, unless you didn't take me down the track. I just loved it. And I do often think, you know, if I could go back, what could I change? To be honest, if I was to tell any athlete, you know, young athlete that's an under 20, under 17, under 13, just to be careful, just to be balanced, because you will burn yourself out if you are doing far too much. And that's when an experienced coach, I think, who can hold you back, make sure that you're only doing 2 or 3 hard sessions a week maximum, and you're just doing other sports and things don't become too, you know, important. I think balance is the key, mentally and physically. I didn't really have a teenage life, because I was so I was so driven with my athletics, which meant by the time I got to 19 and I finally was kicked off lottery, I thought, I just want to go out now and I just want to be a normal person. So I do regret it, but then I also enjoyed being the best when I was a teenager, and there was no financial kind of pressure or anything. It's very difficult. I mean, I did run against a few people that managed to kind of translate a very long career into a senior career. Gemma Simpson, I ran with from when I was 12, and she managed to get to the 2008 Olympics. I remember that, and that was very difficult to see, because I had the qualifying standard to go to the 2004 Olympics. I just broke down, and it's always been very difficult pill to swallow, really, that I had it almost on a plate and it didn't quite translate. And the Olympics is just the biggest thing, isn't it? Any athlete dreams of, and that didn't happen. So yeah, it's a difficult one. I don't regret it, because it makes me the person I am. But if I can help others just to tread a bit more carefully when they're young athletes, I think it can only be a positive thing.
But it's I can see that
it's difficult for, I'm thinking if I was in that situation now, like if I was winning like national titles and that sort of thing as an adult, it's difficult to make a decision. As a teenager, it's very difficult because you want success. It's great to be good at something, and if you can see you're great at something and you're winning like national championships, that must have been impossible.
I was winning national titles from when I was 13. Every year I was very, very consistent. I won, I don't know, 3 English schools and inter-counties on the country. And then I was able, I did kind of break through as a senior when I was 17. That was kind of my purple patch when I qualified for the Commonwealth. And I was competing with Matola and Kelly Holmes. And, you know, I was kind of making that transition. But unfortunately, I was pushing my body too much as it was developing. And that's my point. I think if you push a body too much when you are growing, you are not going to become a senior athlete. I'm a good example for that. And I've actually been used as an example in Athletics Weekly numerous occasions as somebody that has done too much. And I don't mind that. I did a few years ago. I used to find it quite upsetting, but it's true. You know, I can't even run a 40-mile week now without breaking down. And I'm sure it's got something to do with it, because there's lots of other people my age that can kind of cope with doing a bit of running.
And so, in terms of long-term health, then, is it affected that in any way? Do you have sort of bone problems and stuff and that sort of thing?
I never had bone, it riddles athletics as in distance, you know, women's distance running. You know, you hear of a lot of athletes struggling with their relationship with food. And I never had an eating disorder as a runner. I never did, hand on my heart. What my problem was is that I was a very lean teenager that used to, you know, obviously train hard. And I don't think, I look at pictures of me as a teenager, I don't think I looked unhealthy at all, but I wasn't obviously giving my body enough energy because I wasn't developing, you know, as a normal teenager would. And unfortunately, that has come to give me problems having children in the future. I mean, I'm very lucky. I lived in Switzerland and I had some fantastic doctors, and actually it didn't take very long at all for me to have children, which was fantastic. But I don't think I was educated enough as a teenager, and it wasn't really talked about. And I really encourage young girls who are worried about their development as an athlete to talk to their parents, to talk to their coaches, to talk to their local their GPs, because it really was one of the things that kind of finished my career, because I wanted to sort it out. So I took some time off, because I obviously felt very strongly about being a healthy person as an adult. Mm. And unfortunately, that having the time off was the beginning of my injuries, because when I came back, the injuries were just, I had 3 months off, and then I'd come back for a little bit, I get another injury, and that was it. And it was just 2 years of not putting one foot in front of the other. And I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was a different person, different athlete, different body. So I think it's very important for young athletes to respect their bodies. And even though athletics seems the be all and end all, you've got to really respect your body and give it enough recovery, nurture it, and eat a lot. I think some young athletes don't realize how much more they have to eat, because they're growing and they're kind of training really hard as well. You've only got one body, so you need to look after it.
Yeah, absolutely. And after that, our next kind of race to look at would be the greatest race of your life. So I guess, what was the moment everything came together and you felt like you produced the best performance you could produce?
That race, I said, you know, when I got to the Commonwealth Games, and I was so fortunate to be there, because I honestly think if anybody had run in that stadium, it must have been the same one in London, you know, the 2012, to have a home crowd. But it was just the best place to run. And anyone would have got a PB there. It was just it was amazing experience. So when I broke the British record, the junior record, that was just fantastic, because my coach at the time, Christina Boxer, she was the first British woman to break 2 minutes, and I was the first junior woman to break 2 minutes. So that was just fairy tale. I mean, it was just incredible. Yeah. It was such a wonderful weekend. As I often joke with my husband, I was a one-hit wonder. Better to be a one-hit wonder than a no-hit wonder, because financially, I was kind of, I could fund myself through uni, through all the different things that came after that. I was very lucky in that respect. And I was still very young. So as I said before, you know, 17-year-old doing athletics, there's no pressure. You're at school. It was fab. It was a great stepping stone.
To say you got the British record, but you nearly got a medal. Have you watched it back?
Oh, right. Yeah, it's so frustrating. Yeah. I mean, Tamsin Lewis cuts me, and I do step back. So I knew I could have gone quicker. But yeah, that's 800 metres. It's an absolute, it's crackers sometimes, you know, trying to get round and stuff. But it was such a fabulous race. Yeah, very close. But I think the time was, I've always been kind of motivated a bit more by time. I don't know why. I loved times beating PBs and things like that. That was just to be the first person, because I know it's going to be broken one day. I think it's not quite 20 years it's been there. Jess Judd was very close a few years ago. I think she got a couple of hundredths away from it, so to be the first person, I suppose, is pretty cool. So
yeah. So you're technically the first under 18 to break 2 minutes in the UK.
Under 18, yeah. I always say junior because it's an under 20 record, but yeah, it must be. Well, I was 17, so yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, and has anyone other than Jess Judd, I guess, is Gemma Reekie? I don't know how old she is now. She's a.
I think this is a problem. I think, you know, it's not. It's definitely more common now for women to run under 2 minutes, but they don't normally do it as a teenager, probably because you probably are running or training too hard, I don't know. But there is an under 20 girl, I can't remember her name now, who's getting very fit and close to the record and stuff. So that was definitely the best race. It was great. It was a great atmosphere.
And what was that experience like? So you're 17 years old, you're at school doing your A-levels, and you get this call to go to the Commonwealth Games. How did you feel about, you know, even go into the Commonwealth Games?
There was a bit of stress with it, because it was the World Juniors in Jamaica the same time, and I obviously should have gone there, but I didn't want to. I decided that I wanted to do Manchester. So there was a bit of friction between UKA and things, but I was so pleased that I actually delivered, because they said, I remember the person that said, you know, you won't get through the heats. And actually the semi-final was tough. And I think I ran the British record then. To get through to the final was pretty tough. So that was definitely that whole experience of coping with, you know, the pressure and everything was great. It matured me as an athlete, really, to deal with all that. But at school, it's just, you just got on with it, really. I didn't know any different, did I? I remember drug testers coming to school to drugs test me at school because of my whereabouts form. I mean, that's not normal.
Yeah. I bet you got a lot of respect across the whole
not
school for
really,
stuff like that.
Yeah. I went to an all-girls school. Most of them thought I was weird.
And what was the atmosphere like? What did it feel like crossing the line? Did you know you were so close? What did you feel like
I was just trying not to be last. I remember going through the 400 and something ridiculous, like 56, 57, and being about a metre off. Well, that's what I saw on the clock. I think I was half a second. But when you're running that pace, you're off the back. But then... Yeah. You know, 800 metres go off too fast. It's always going to end in tears. So I think that's why the finish at the end was a bit mad, because everyone was drowning in lactic acid. Yeah. So, yeah, great. It was just a lot of noise, excitement. And I think there was three of us. Yeah, it was Joe Fenn, Sue Scott, me, we all got under kind of 2 minutes. So it was all, that's quite a big barrier for an 800 meter runner. There's probably people listening don't, you know, but as an 800 meter runner, as a woman, you know, that kind of magical 2 minutes, it's euphoric when you finally break it.
Yeah. And do you remember who won the race? Did you?
Oh, it was Matola. Yeah.
In a dominating state. That was before, is it before Sydney, right? She said
it's 2002. So, I think Kelly Holmes, because she obviously dominated 2004. She was injured that year, but she wasn't on that kind of Manchester team. I think that was the 1 year I was ranked ahead of Kelly Holmes, which is quite crazy.
Again, if you're going to be a one-hit wonder, that's...
the following year, I did go to the World Championships in Paris, but unfortunately, I got kind of clipped and tripped by this Spanish girl in the heat, and I think I was the ninth fastest loser out of, you know, I didn't get through. So I definitely would have liked to have done well there, but I think Kelly Holmes, you know, got her own back that year, obviously.
Yeah. So what happened then after that sort of that point? So it brought you a bit of fame and money to get you through.
Well, I got a kit sponsor and I got an agent, Ricky Sims, who was absolutely amazing for the whole time I was, you know, a decent runner. And I went to, I was still at school, 2003, but I think I got a silver at the European Juniors, and then I went to the Worlds in Paris, and I didn't really kind of do anything, but still the experience of a senior world championship was just crazy. And I got to travel a lot. I went to the Weltklasse, I got an invitation race there, did the final in the Brussels, the Grand Prix, you know, and it was just an awesome year, kind of growing as an athlete and thinking maybe I could do this as a career. It was just, you know, it's really good. And obviously I was still kind of, I kind of had the not excuse, but I was only 18, so I was obviously still kind of finding my feet, and I was still at school, so that year was kind of a stepping stone year. And then I went to uni the year after. I went to Southampton for the first year and had a great year training. Like, I was probably the fittest I could have been when I started the 2004 season. I'd been training with Todd Bennett's group in Southampton. Remember Rob Tobin and Melanie Perkis? They were just amazing for me. And Todd Bennett, you know, incredible athlete and such a wonderful person to have been able to work with. And also Sean Scott. So I had like a really good training group. And I opened my season really well. I think I remember running a 800 in 2:03 at a Southern Women's League. And I just thought, all I need to do is take off 3 seconds and I can go to the Olympics, you know? And it just didn't happen. I just got injury after injury. And that was the beginning of the end.
Did you ever get a slither of hope that it might come back? Did you ever, you know, I suppose you get lots of slithers, but never anything that kind of materializes?
It's difficult because I was getting like Achilles problems and I had a hip problem because I was then compensating, and doctors were always also kind of worried that I wasn't really, you know, showing signs of improvement on the kind of developing side of being a teenager and stuff. So I decided after it went horribly wrong in Grosseto. So I did the World Juniors in Grosseto. And I was told that if I just won the World Juniors, I would be able to go to the Olympics because I had the qualifying standard from 2 years ago. And that was my focus as a junior. But it was just awful. I had to, like, you know, hobble off the track on the semi-finals. I didn't even make the final, and I was the I was the team captain. It was just awful. I felt very silly. And it is funny because I was sharing a room with Jessica Ennis. And it was a sliding doors moment when I was kind of bigged up to be like, you know, a future star of athletics, and then Jessie, obviously, I think she came about seventh or eighth in that competition, she was a bit gutted. She's gotten to be just such a phenomenal athlete, you know. Yeah. You can't help but look back sometimes and think, oh my goodness, things have could have been a lot different. But that's the beauty of the sport, you know. It's a very tough sport to succeed in. There's so many things that can, you know, hamper you. So you just got to take the positive from it. It is fun to look back. I mean, I'm thinking when you first kind of contacted me about doing this, the podcast, and I was kind of thinking through all these races, you know, you forget about all these different bits. But that kind of point, it was a good time to kind of change my approach. And that's when I decided I need to maybe change what I'm doing. I changed my coach. I went to a different university because there's a high performance center. I went to Birmingham so I could get a lot more help with my kind of injuries and everything. But unfortunately, my body decided that it was going to kind of develop, and I definitely changed as an athlete physically. And I just don't think, I think I made the right call at 21 to leave it, because I think I had the best out of my body, and I was a different person completely once kind of all these problems resolved. I couldn't run the times the same, you know. I couldn't. Yeah. I don't know why, but I would just break down. I get Achilles problems. I got a stress response in my femur. I got crepitus in my feet. I got soleus tear. I could just give you a list of different things. And it was just 2 years of just not being able to do a lot, and I just was not in love with it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Great time to step away.
Yeah, and I became, you know, I trained to be a teacher. I got a proper job, as I kept saying, got a proper job, and met my husband. And I honestly didn't miss it at all. I was actually quite grateful not to have the pressure anymore, because it was eating me up. You know, I was chasing kind of form that was always so easy. It was always easy to run fast. Like those sessions, you know, you're talking about when we trained together when I was 14, 15. It was never difficult to do 45 seconds for a 300. It just, you didn't even need to warm up. But then I couldn't even get near that. And I was doing so much cross training and strength work and icing and stretching and just
all that run up is just not worth it, is it?
I just want to go and to the theatre, and I've never seen anybody live, like music, you know. I hadn't done any of that. So I met my husband, and it was just like, I didn't even care. I was just enjoying my life. Had some wonderful friends in Birmingham that I'm still, you know, very good friends with. And it was just, you know, entering a different stage of the life. And I just, as I said, I just didn't miss it. It wasn't until I came back to the UK after being away that I started loving the running again. And I do love it now. I do love it.
But not in the same way. Well, we'll move on to our last question. We said our third race. It's the greatest race you've ever seen. What's the greatest race you've ever had?
It's difficult. I think things that you see live are always that much better, aren't they? So I do remember vividly being in the stands, a little bit gutted about bombing out the heats in Paris, the world champs in Paris in 2003, and watching Bekele and Gabra Selassie churning out lap after lap, 62, 63, 62, you know, 60, just 10 kilometers of crazy fast running. And I think when you see Ethiopians running, so they're beautiful. Just like, you know, wow, any fast runner, but I do like watching the Ethiopians, the way they run, their style, the way they kick their heels up so high, and they're so relaxed, and it was just incredible. And the Ethiopian fans are just incredible as well. So I think Bekele just won on the last 100, and it was something ridiculous, like 26 something. I mean, it's just crazy. That is just a crazy time, isn't it, to run a 10K.
Was it the year with Sahen was up there as well? The three of them just off there.
Yes, it was three Ethiopians. I think that's why it just looked so crazy. Yeah. And then you've obviously got the fan base and the crowd that just going mad. It was just great. I mean, I do remember watching Paula Radcliffe do the 5K in Manchester in the Commonwealth, and that being quite similar, because I don't think she'd won a track title before then. So it was pretty cool being in front of that. But this was just something else. I mean, they were just so fast.
Fantastic. Well, I shouldn't keep you too much longer. Probably your kids are probably kind of running up the walls and stuff.
They're at the beach with the dad, so it's
all right. Oh, good. Yeah, right. But I should ask you three more quick fire questions to finish. We ask them to everybody on the show. And they are, the first one being, if you could be anywhere running right now, where would it be?
I think it would have to be Hengistbury Head in Bournemouth, which is where I used to do a lot of my running. It's just beautiful. Absolutely nice, beautiful. Perfect. And also I just remember, you just remember sessions, don't you? You just remember things when you're running well. So yeah,
back in the good old days. The second one is can you recommend us something? So it can be a book.
I think if I could recommend anything, I did do a crazy event with my husband when I think it was before we went to Switzerland, so it must have been 2009. We did this 100-mile stage race in the Himalayas, and we did it for charity. So I remember, because I was working as a teacher, it was over the October half term. So we flew out in the weekend, and it was Monday to Friday, and the stages were obviously added up to 100 miles. But it was just incredible. I mean, you had Everest in the background, the camaraderie with all the athletes. They were all doing it for charity as well. It was just crazy. It was just so good. Something different, you know. I never thought I would be able to do something like that, because obviously you're at altitude as well. You're pretty much so that's cool. If anyone on, you know, bucket list races, definitely recommend, you've got to do that race.
Fantastic. And the final question is, in your opinion, what has been the greatest endurance single performance, other than your own, of course, in of all time?
Greatest performance. It's hard, isn't it, with all the Kipchoge, and you see the marathons at the moment. And I do vividly remember Paul Radcliffe doing that marathon, thinking that would never be able to be broken. Was it 2013 she did that?
Yeah.
No, 2003, sorry. 2003. Yeah, I'm getting my date. 2003, Paul Radcliffe's marathon in London was incredible. But then I also remember Radisha doing that world record in 2012 as well. Yeah. 800-meter world record, and he just looked incredible. It's hard. That's a very hard question. I have three.
Well, Radice is on its way back. Hopefully we'll get another chance to repeat that thing. We'll take two. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much, Charlotte. Thanks for chatting. It's been fantastic to hear your story, and it's a cautionary one, I guess, for young athletes. But also, I mean, you've had some great highs. You can't deny that. So it's been nice to reminisce.
Yeah, it's nice to reminisce. I mean, I don't really consider myself definitely not a good athlete now, but I don't consider myself as a good athlete in the past, really, because I failed at the last bit. You know, I don't think it's a particularly good story finishing your career as a 21-year-old. But if anybody is listening as an under 20 and perhaps feels that they should maybe reflect on how they're treating their bodies, even if they don't feel like, you know, it's important, just be mindful, because when you're as a teenager, you think you're invincible and you think you're never going to want children. You know what I mean? But you think, but you do, you know, now I'm 35 and you think, gosh, my body is precious, and, you know, you just need to be careful. And that's why it's good to have a good coach and to be part of a good club, and, you know, and just to be protected. So for coaches as well, just, you know, there's no point pushing it too much push the athlete. I'm not saying don't push the athlete, but push the athlete once they've developed. Yes. I think it's a lot safer for everybody.
Short-term gains aren't worth it.
I just think
always plan for the long term.
Yeah, I just think, well, even I just think it's just being I don't know, responsible, I think is the best word. I think, you know, I think Ailish McColgan is an incredibly good role model for so many young athletes, because she was a good young athlete, but look at her now. She is an incredibly successful senior. And she was obviously, you know, protected as a young athlete. She was very good, but she wasn't doing too much. And you know, she's had a great career. I think there are too many young athletes. I could name a lot as well as myself, that perhaps were not protected by their coaches and did too much and maybe suffering physically or mentally. Mm. And I just don't think it's worth it. I just think people need to be responsible, and it is difficult when you're a teenager to be responsible. So sometimes, you know, the coach needs to be just a bit more responsible and look at the bigger picture, as you said.
Yeah, a great tale. Thanks, Charlotte. Thanks for chatting.